Good morning, members. We do have a quorum. I call the meeting of the Ways and Means Committee to order for today, March 17th. We do have minutes in front of us. Representative Agbaje, have you had a chance to review the minutes?
So reviewed and so moved.
Minutes are moved. All those in favor of their approval signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed by the same sign. The minutes are approved. Thank you. We are waiting for copies of 1704. It's Monday, so please be understanding. But in the meantime, we're going to go ahead and get started on 1704. So I'd like Representative Anderson to come to the testifiers' table. I will move 1704 before the committee. It's my intention, as I've discussed with Representative Stevenson, to lay 1704 over. We will not be passing it out of committee today, but it's pretty much ready to go, and so we decided to go ahead and hear it today since we had time with the committee. We do have the A6 amendment, but I'm going to wait, Chair Anderson, until the A6, until the bill is before us in paper form before I go ahead with the A6 amendment. So in the meantime, I would like you to start explaining your bill, Representative Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members, and good morning to all of you on Ways and Means. Those involved in agriculture today realize that we're in a down cycle in terms of profit and loss in agriculture. Commodity prices are low, input price costs are high, and coming up with a positive cash flow for those involved in agriculture in the foreseeable future is going to be a challenge. So we wanted to come up with a robust farm bill that does what the state can to help our farmers and those involved in agriculture. This bill does a lot of good things for a lot of people for a relatively small amount of money in terms of the overall state budget. You may not know that the ag bill, the spending in the state for agriculture, amounts to about 1/4 of 1% of the overall state general fund budget. And this bill has an increase in spending. We were given a $17 million bump in the base funding. But even with that modest increase, it amounts to about 3.7% of the projected surplus that we're looking at for this biennium. It still will be about 1/4 of 1%. So the overall impact finance-wise to the state will really show a lot of benefits to the people involved in agriculture in Minnesota. And, Mr. Chair, some of the things this bill does, in my top priority, I've said this since the session started, was to make sure that the Board of Animal Health, which is one of the agencies that is funded in this budget, is fully prepared to handle any livestock disease issues that may come forward in these next 2 years. They've been working extremely hard. You know, the high pathogenic avian influenza has been around. It used to be a spring and a fall thing during migration, but it's becoming more of a year-round situation. It's also variated and moved into the cattle industry, dairy cattle. The state of California has been hit. I think 700 of their herds have been infected to some degree with the virus. Minnesota has been pretty fortunate so far. And our department is in the process of having every dairy farm in Minnesota tested for the H5N1 virus in the milk that they deliver for processing. And so far, we, knock on wood, we've had zero positive samples, at least as of a week ago, in terms of that testing here in the state of Minnesota. So my top priority is to fully fund the Board of Animal Health. This bill also increases funding for what's called the Ag Emergency Fund, which came into play, those of you around, back in 2015 when the bird flu first hit. And they had to have funding for work to be done immediately, and that Ag Emergency Fund was used to a great extent. And right now, the latest I heard was that fund is down to about $1.2 million. This replenishes that account with another $1.5 million to give them what they need to do some really fast emergency work in terms of anything that may come up that would face the state here in the ag situation. This bill fully funds the Department of Agriculture. It provides a much needed increase to the Board of Animal Health, as I mentioned, and it funds other programs such as AURI. And also in this bill is a provision that pertains to broadband and funding for that program as well in Minnesota. That kind of sums up what this bill does, Mr. Chair, and I would turn it back to you.
Well, thank you, Chair Anderson. I don't see any questions. Thank you. Representative Cleveland.
Thank you very much. And Chair Anderson, you know I'm a strong supporter of Minnesota agriculture, always have been, always will be. But I'm looking at the things that are happening at the federal level, and I'm really concerned. The recent news that we've lost $18 million of funding from USDA for local food to schools and then local food production, how do you see us dealing with that type of cut?
Representative Anderson.
Mr. Chair, thank you, and Representative Cleveland. First of all, and this is my opinion, I'm a farmer. I deal with the USDA and Department of Ag. In no way can Minnesota make up for all the cuts that are potentially coming out of Washington. Our funding streams are nowhere near what can be coming out of Washington. And that's part of the reason we have this amendment that will be offered when time permits to increase the funding we have in the bill. Already it's over $2 million to the farm-to-school program, which is a key area that we can get our local farmers involved with the production of specialty crops and have those purchased by our schools. So we see that, Madam Representative Cleveland, and account for that as much as we can with funding in this bill to backstop to a slight degree some of the funding being lost coming from Washington.
A follow-up, Representative Claiborne.
Yes, thank you. And then could you please help us understand how our farmers are going to deal with the concerns around potash? Thank you.
Representative Anderson.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. And Representative Claiborne, I assume you're talking about potash fertilizer.
I am.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And that would have to do with a tariff coming out of the nation of Canada. And I have kind of a maybe good news, bad news with that. The tariff is slated to go into effect in April, but at least for the spring, most farmers have purchased the potash they need for this year's crop. It's estimated if there's a 25% tariff imposed on potash, it would add about $6 an acre to the cost of growing corn. But again, I would say that the vast majority of farmers at this point, it's getting pretty late in the planting season for agriculture, spring planting. So I don't think it'll have a major impact in planting this spring's crop, as potash is a major component of the fertilizer used in the production of crops all over the nation.
Representative Claiborne.
Thank you. And Chair Anderson, I appreciate you were bringing this bill forward. I'm not prepared to support it at this time, but the harm that is coming towards Minnesota's agricultural economy from the United States is very alarming to me, and I would like to figure out a way where we can make sure that our state stays strong in this agricultural economy. But we have to acknowledge what's happening, and these cuts, and these are just the beginning. I mean, we don't know what's coming. And so this is going to take all of us working together. And bringing a bill forward that is one-sided is not really a collaborative effort. So I would like to be able to work with you and work with the Chair of Agriculture to bring forward a bill that we would all be able to get behind and support. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Representative Swazinski has a question.
Thank you. Would Representative Anderson pause for a question?
Yes, he will.
So, Representative Anderson, just a quick question. Does your bill address anything to do with ethanol production and the potential damage that adopting the California Cars Initiative would by putting bureaucrats in charge of our auto industry? Does it address anything to do with that, that Governor Wall signed?
Representative Anderson.
Mr. Chair and Representative Suzinski, directly, no, it does not, but it does incentivize the building out of our E15 infrastructure in the state of Minnesota. But it doesn't impact the immediate situation that you mentioned. But it does strongly support the build out of E15. And again, I've said this numerous times here that moving to E15 is a win-win situation. It is lower in cost. It's at least 15 cents a gallon cheaper. And there's been some studies done. The number of gallons used in Minnesota on a monthly basis times 15 or 16 cents a gallon. It saves our consumers millions of dollars a year in costs they would otherwise spend on regular gasoline. So I'm a strong supporter of E15, and we do support that build-out in this bill, Representative Suzinski.
Sounds good. Thank you. A follow-up, Representative Suzinski.
And Representative Anderson, if we're to move maybe a potential amendment, it sounds like there's some interest across the aisle for eliminating the damage of policies that potentially damage agriculture in Minnesota. Would you be open if Democrats and Republicans joined together and maybe brought an amendment to put on your bill that ended the California Clean Cars Initiative that potentially damages ethanol production, damages internal combustion engines in Minnesota policies by putting California bureaucrats in charge of our policies here in Minnesota? Would you be open to potentially carrying that and allowing that on the bill?
Representative Anderson.
Mr. Chair, Representative Suzinski, yes, I certainly would be. And maybe a couple others, too, in terms of I had a bill heard last week that would provide some relief to farmers who employ just a few workers, up to five, from the Sick and Safe Time bill moving forward. So there's a lot of things we can do to support agriculture, and that would be one of those things, Representative Suzinski.
Anything else, Representative Suzinski? Thank you. Representative Cagle.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just wanted to point out that the Minnesota Clean, the Clean Car Standards for Minnesota expires at the end of this car model year. So it's really kind of pointless to even bring that kind of amendment.
Representative Pinto.
Thank you, Chair. I'm concerned. I wouldn't usually comment on a agriculture budget bill, but I noticed that it contains provisions that are actually in the jurisdiction of the Workforce, Labor, and Economic Development Committee, in particular, there's some funding to DEED, but then also modifications to training and other requirements relating to installation of broadband. This is a provision that did pass through the committee when had the Republican plurality, but there was sharp concern from my side of the aisle about it. The carefully negotiated previously between all kinds of stakeholders for make sure that folks who are installing broadband are doing so in a safe way. I'll just admit to being quite frustrated then that provision that is really a labor provision ended up in this bill and one that, as I say, had a lot of opposition both from members of my side of the aisle but also from a lot of stakeholders as well. So that, to my mind, would be a reason to vote against the bill as it's moving forward just because of the imposition of that. I'll maybe just ask Chairman Anderson, is there a reason that was included in your budget bill as opposed to moving through the process, the ordinary way of going through, I guess it'd be through Workforce, Labor, and Economic Development since it is within that jurisdiction?
Representative Anderson.
Thanks, Mr. Chair and Representative Pinto. That bill has been through numerous committee stops. In this committee, the Ag Committee, for whatever reason, has been given the purview over broadband funding. So the Office of Broadband Funding is in this bill, and that is why we carry that provision in the Ag Bill.
Chair.
Follow up, Representative.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. And this may be to our fiscal staff then. I guess I had not realized, I guess I'll end up talking further to Chair Baker as well, but I guess I hadn't realized that a determination had actually been made that account is in fact in the agriculture side. It's a little bit different than the policy provision that I was asking about, but if we can just have confirmation as to where that account, if a decision has been finally made about where that account is going to land.
Ms. Ahrens.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and Representative Pinto. The broadband account has been in the jurisdiction of the Agriculture Committee for the last, few years, for sure.
A follow-up, Representative
Pinto. Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. I guess I'll I don't know that I necessarily heard that the decision been made about that for this cycle, but understanding it has for previous cycles. And so it looks like Ms. Adrian is going to have a clarification, Mr. Chair.
I'm sorry, I should have been more specific, Mr. Chair and Representative Pinto. My understanding for this session, it is in the jurisdiction of the Agriculture Committee.
Thank you. And then, Mr. Chair, just final comment, if I may.
Representative Pinto.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Yeah, and so I guess I still would say, though, regarding so understanding that about the account, that's in Article 2, Section 2 of the DE, but that Article 2, Section 3, though, relating to kind of the labor requirements, I would argue was within the jurisdiction of the Workforce, Labor, and Economic Development Committee, and regardless of jurisdiction, again, have significant concerns about safety when it comes to the installation of broadband. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Representative Acorn.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Chair Anderson, as I'm looking over the bill brief here and the spreadsheet, I know we don't have the bill language in front of us. I'm wondering if you could point to any provisions that passed out of committee in a bipartisan way.
Representative Anderson.
Mr. Chair, Representative Acorn, to my knowledge, there were some that were taking voice votes, or I should say no vote was taken, but anything that had a voice vote, the answer is no.
Representative Acorn.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And it seemed, were all the provisions that are within this bill heard in committee?
Representative Anderson.
Representative Acorn, the answer to that is they were heard either in committee or in the markup last week. And the one that I think you may be referring to is I had issues getting the revisers, the green jackets back again. I had to send it back for clarification. And I just got the jackets back days ago. So that provision was not heard in committee. I think what she's referring to is a provision that would encourage farmers on a proactive basis to actually reduce their application of nitrogen fertilizer by using what's called a biologic that would replace some nitrogen. So to me, a very positive piece of legislation, but that bill itself was not heard in committee yet.
Representative Acorn.
One final question. Thank you, Mr. Chair. And as I look through the bill brief put together and the spreadsheet, it seems as though there's several provisions that weren't heard in committee. The funding for the Minnesota Horticultural Society, Center for Rural Policy and Development grants, a lot of things that don't necessarily have details, and we don't have the bill information in front of us. And just given the fact that we're going to need 68 votes to get passed off the House floor and that things are coming here, I'm not quite sure what you see the rush in to get this bill through Ways and Means today, when clearly there's a lot of bipartisan work that still continues to be needed in this bill. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Representative Acorn, I'll just remind you, we are holding this bill over today. We are not passing it out of committee. Response, Representative Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and Representative. As I mentioned when we first started, agriculture is a key industry to this state. It accounts for 15 to 20% of our economic output, and yet the budget here is less than 0.25%. And I do not want to see the Department of Ag go unfunded. If in case things happen here that we're challenged to come up with a budget by the end of the session, and the last time that happened was back in 2011, and the ag bill was done early. It was the only bill that was done early, so the department could continue its work. And I find that especially important this year, again, as we face possible livestock disease outbreaks. And we need that department and the Board of Animal Health fully functioning no matter what happens here in St. Paul these next few months. So that is my impetus for trying to move this ahead, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Representative Anderson. Representative Vang.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I've already said much of my remarks in the Ag Committee, Chair Anderson, but I just wanted to just reiterate echoing what my colleagues have said. This is not a bipartisan bill. We are in a tight house, and yet the manner that this bill is moving is not bipartisan at all. Already that has been a non-starter for us. I haven't made my remarks on the specifics of this bill, and I just wanted to highlight some of the key things that are problematic and are probably non-starters to us. And I want to start that conversation to get us ahead in having a more productive discussion once you are willing to work with Chair Hansen on making a bipartisan ag bill. You know, a lot of these investments that we've made in recent years, when I was former ag chair, I created the Emerging Farmers Office, in which we see a reduction. You're cutting funds to the Emerging Farmers Office. You've also eliminated funding to the Climate Implementation Coordinator. You've also made adjustments to the Farmland Down Payment Assistance Grants, in which its policy, the intention of this program, when I created it, is to support small farmers. And with your amendment, your changes, it actually opens it up, and it will actually, small farmers will not be able to access this program. And I want to highlight that in the past 7 years that I've been a member of the Ag Committee, I've worked tirelessly to make better relationships with farmers who have been left behind, farmers who have been shut out of the industry, especially for BIPOC, black and brown farmers. And in the latest recent ag census, because of our investments that we made in these past few years, Minnesota has seen breaking the trend of farms losing farms or farms consolidating. In fact, Minnesota has seen an increase in small farmers, an increase in BIPOC farmers because of the investments we've made these past few years, because of our intentional investments to support our urban communities who are interested in farming. And now we're seeing a migration from the urban core going out to greater Minnesota and establishing farms that they have been historically left out of. And to see this bill taking away those investments, reducing those investments, is not the route that we want to go. I also see it's problematic, and non-starters to us is changing the language for urban and youth ag, good food access, farmer school, from designated funding to allowable, meaning that the agency, the department, does not have to spend $4 million. That's for urban ag. That's not acceptable. And you know, I there's more things that I can say, but these are some of the key things that I wanted to highlight. That will be non-starters for us, and I hope that you'll be more intentional in having a more productive conversation with us once you're ready to work on a bipartisan bill. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Representative Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and Chair Vang. I would answer your comments, and I hear them. I hear them very well. But maybe only in government speak would we call a stable funding level a cut. In this bill, the funding for the Emerging Farmers Office in 26-27 is the same as it was in 24-25. I don't call that a cut. I call that stable funding. You mentioned a climate implementation coordinator, a new position in the Department of Agriculture. And again, my earlier comments about the situation downturn facing agriculture in this state and in this country, I thought that position could wait, that that was not really high on my priority list of establishing a new position of whatever this person would do, a climate implementation coordinator. So that was eliminated in this bill. And as far as working together, I would just add that in last year's ag bill, there was not one Republican provision included in the ag bill. So when we talk about partisan, nonpartisan, you know, it goes both ways. Our ag committee, our members, each one of us is a farmer involved in agriculture or lives in greater Minnesota. We have a knowledge of agriculture, and we put this bill together. doing what we thought was best for the entire state of agriculture in Minnesota, not prioritizing certain groups, but all of agriculture in this state. And Minnesota is a powerhouse. We rank first in a number of agricultural productions, turkeys, for example, oats, sugar beets, high in corn, soybeans, other crops. And Minnesota has an outstanding agriculture industry, and I want to see that protected as well as we, as much as we can here in this ag bill, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Chair Anderson. Representative Lilly.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and Representative Anderson. My comment's a little different. Going down the broadband, and I have a deep concern about the changes that we're making in the safety of the workers, and that's really going to be a non-starter, you know, for me. Not that it matters, but it's one vote, and I just hope you consider, you know, if maybe moving these bills separate at least, and then working on the worker safety side, because there's when you look at it, it's, you know, it's dangerous. The firefighters, you know, are against it, some of the trades, and it's not just that they're against it. It's, I mean, it's with good cause. I mean, you know, people are out there drilling in the ground and working on these lines, and I think as a state, it's a value to be concerned about the workers. So I hope you reconsider your joining the two together and maybe spin off one, or at least certainly work on the broadband side, and sounds like you have some work on the other side as well. So just mostly comments. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Any comment, Representative Anderson, at this time?
Well, thanks, Mr. Chair and Representative Lilly. I know that bill, as I mentioned, has been to a lot of committee stops, and there's a lot of discussion going on pertaining to that bill, and there may be amendments added to it. I'm not sure about that, but I know they're working on it, and we could see changes in that provision.
Thank you, Representative Anderson. Members, you now have a copy of 1704 in front of you. It's nobody's fault but mine that it was not in your packet. I didn't do a good enough job of checking packets, so I apologize for that. And we also have the A6. So let's go to the A6 amendment. Representative Anderson.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. What the A6 does is change a little bit of the funding. Reduces some of the funding for the green seam appropriation and puts that funding, as we talked about the importance of funding for school nutrition, it adds that funding to the farm to school program. It's $200,000, a change in that area. And the other change that the bill does, it designates in the agri fund that money be set aside for, again, we're talking about the highly pathogenic bird flu. It sets aside funding for a rather unique program where they are using laser light on the buildings of their turkey buildings to basically scare away the wild birds that are carrying this virus. We've seen pictures in committee, could have brought one, but didn't think of it. It kind of makes the building look like a Christmas tree almost. It really lights up the building. And these systems have been fairly effective in the keeping these wild birds away from the turkey buildings. That we want to support that and help our turkey growers in their efforts to keep that highly pathogenic bird flu at bay.
Well, thank you, Representative Anderson. I would say it makes it look more like a giant shamrock today.
Yes.
Since these lasers are green. But anyway, rather a dour group this morning. Anyway, Representative Baker to this amendment.
Mr. Chair, I was actually still waiting for the overall as amended. I'll wait. I'll hold my comment.
All right. Any questions to the amendment? If not, all those in favor of the A6 signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed by the same sign. Your bill is amended, Representative Anderson, and now Representative Baker to the bill as amended.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. I guess I just... Some of the comments that were made earlier, and again, we did see this bill, some of these bills come through our committee. I'm just really thankful that the bill is in front of us today. Members, I see it's being laid over because, again, I think the chair knows we've got to get some bipartisan work on this. We've got to get some important things going, but it's here now today. The broadband is very important to get moving now. The ag side of things, we should be working on this to get it out the door early, because if things don't go well this session, This is one we can all get behind early and get it out now. Broadband construction is going to start soon with this kind of weather that we're having today. The comments about the safety of workers is not accurate. If you were there listening to testimony, there was a lot of changes made the last couple of years that really are going to impede our providers that are doing directional boring, have been doing it a very, very good job over the many, many years. We've got a lot of federal dollars sitting there right now ready to deploy. And right now the delay in that training, the certification is critical to this year's construction cycle. This is a time to move fairly quickly on this agency, on this bill. And I really do support the couple million dollars here going in for avian bird flu. Spring is around the corner, and this is important to get this thing moving. Again, the broadband deployment is critical. I'm glad it got to your committee, Rep. Anderson, Chair Anderson, and we just need to get this moving because the language that was written the last 2 years around that policy was completely hyperpartisan, and we need to make sure that we kind of make it. And we're not repealing any of this. We're delaying it so that we can get the work out done this year. So I just want to say I appreciate getting this out the way it is today. Spring is here. It's coming, and we need to get moving, and these are very reasonable, common-sense approaches to a important agency that we have in the state. So thank you, Chair Anderson, for bringing this forward.
Thank you, Representative Baker. Representative Stevenson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I have a couple of comments, but first I just have a question. As I was looking through the spreadsheet, I see on line 158, it looks like the base funding for Second Harvest Heartland is $3.4 million, and you reduce it by $900,000 in both the first biennium and the tails. Can you speak about that decision, why you decided to reduce the funding for Second Harvest Heartland?
Representative Anderson.
Mr. Chair, thank you, and Chair Stevenson, thank you. Again, we made choices. Second Harvest Heartland does a great job. What I believe the 2022 numbers I saw, their revenue was in that $8 to $9 million area, and we still fund them. We did decrease it some, but we feel they're a large enough organization that they can still work with that figure coming from the ag budget. And another strong provision we have in there is their provision to buy milk for food shelves. So that remains a strong provision, but we did reduce the appropriation for Second Harvest Heartland, feeling that they could cover that in their overall budget.
Representative Stevenson, I believe Representative Rarick has a comment to this particular issue. Do you mind if I go to her?
I do not mind.
Representative Rarick.
I know it's hard. It's St. Patrick's Day, and my name isn't O'Neill anymore. And I know.
It is St. Patrick's Day, after
it
all.
It is, and I'm not wearing green.
World.
So specifically to the change in appropriation to Second Harvest Heartland, I was just looking at their most recent 990, which I've been doing all session in the previous biennium and the previous biennium before that. And so they do have $260 million growth. That's their gross revenue, and that's the most recent 990 that's available on the IRS website, which is all the way through September 30th of 23. But what's even more interesting, I think, is that their CEO, their top person, makes $721,000. Yeah, $721,000 is the top person. I just looked at, you have to go all the way, almost to the very, very end of the 990, but it's finally there. And they have 10 people that make more than the governor, which is more than $150,000. So that's well over $2.6 million in their highest paid compensated people. So I think, you know, a little cut here, a little cut there. I think when we're looking at our tails, as you know, they don't look great. I think they can handle it. They also have quite a bit in lobbying and quite a bit in fundraising expenses as well, which I won't name. But so that's just a quick look at their 990 from the end of September 30th of 2023.
Thank you, Representative Rarick. Representative Stevens.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Representative Chair O'Neill, or Chair Rarick, for that context. I appreciate that. Even after, I think it's because you planted the seed by talking about the name change, it made me think that I should go back. Anyway, well, I appreciate that context, and I appreciate the discussion today about the desire to ensure that the funding for the agricultural budget is done before the end of the fiscal year. And that is important, but it's important to do that for every single agency of state government, because every single agency of state government does important work for the people of Minnesota, and people in Minnesota will be harmed if those agencies do not have budgets enacted by the end of the year. And I hope that we are all committed to funding the entirety of state government by the end of the year and not already here on March 17th talking about doing one agency or another agency in the event that we aren't able to reach an agreement. We should be at this point entirely focused on doing our job and getting our work done in the time that we have allotted. And this bill, I'm glad it's being laid over because it's not ready yet. It would not have the support of 68 members of the House of Representatives if it was brought up for the for a vote on the floor of the House. And no bill, no finance bill should leave this committee until we think we can pass it off the House floor. We shouldn't be doing committee work on the floor, and this bill isn't there yet. There's more work that needs to be done to get the buy-in necessary in order to move it off the floor. It also should be done in the context of the entire state budget. We shouldn't have a bill that has a target for one committee before we have targets for all of our committees. So I'm glad that we're laying the bill over, and I'm hopeful that we can have those important discussions in the next couple weeks before third deadline. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Representative Stevenson. A wrap-up, Representative Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Again, a reminder that this budget, this bill, is about 0.25% of the overall state budget, and it does contain funding for a lot of programs that the DFL has traditionally supported: Urban Ag, Good Food Access, Forever Green, and the Emerging Farmers Office, plus the recommended funding for the department itself, for Department of Agriculture. So, Mr. Chair, I would encourage support for the bill and leave it up to you.
Well, thank you, Chair Anderson. As I stated earlier, this bill is being laid over. Seeing no further discussion, House File 1704 is laid over. Members, we have another bill before us today, House File 1722. I believe Representative Hicks is in the audience, if she would come to the table. I will move that House File 1722 be placed on the General Register. Representative Hicks, I believe you're the a co-author on this bill. The author is unavailable today. But thank you for being at Ways and Means, and please go ahead and describe House File 1722 of the committee.
Thank you all so much for having me. Thank you, Chair. I've never been to Ways and Means before. You all are very big. There's a lot of you.
Highlight of your life.
Highlight of my life.
Representative Hicks, did you say you haven't been here before?
I have not.
And it's St. Patrick's Day. I know there's availability of lots of green treats out there, but we will forgive you, Representative Hicks. Please go ahead.
Thank you so much. This bill is a partnership with Representative Davids to honor a fallen police officer in our area in southeastern Minnesota who lived and whose widow lives in Representative Davids' district and whose widow is a dear friend to me and who I knew at the time of her great loss. So that's why we co-authored the bill, to name the highway where he was killed in his honor, and the family has raised the money required in statute to do so.
Thank you for that information and that presentation, Representative Hicks. Are there any questions for the co-author of the bill? Seeing none, I renew my motion that House File 1722 be placed on the General Register. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, by the same sign. 1722 is on to the General Register. Thank you for being with us, Representative Hicks. Members, that's all the business we have this morning. I appreciate your attendance and the flexibility in your scheduling. I know it's been a little tricky today. This meeting is adjourned.